small town anywhere isn't going to get this kind of technology. They aren't going to be continually upgrading. They're just going to be sucking them dry, taking the money and taking it somewhere else.
Hi, and welcome to the Community Broadband Bits podcast from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. This is Lisa Gonzalez. In 2005, DiamondNet began serving Salisaw as the first Oklahoma municipal network in which the municipality offered triple play services. Before bringing fiber to the community, most residents were stuck with dial-up. The network is popular with the locals, both for its services and for its determination to keep the network focused on community interests. In addition to providing special local video content, DiamondNet prides itself on its ability to offer customer service from within the community. In this interview, Chris talks with Keith Skelton, Assistant City Manager of Salisaw, and Danny Keith, the Network Communications Supervisor for DiamondNet. Keith and Danny share some of the problems they faced as a relatively small community trying to develop its own municipal network. As with other communities we've talked to, connecting to the outside world was one of the biggest problems they faced. The community has always supported this local effort, however, and DiamondNet has continued to make improvements and develop plans for the future. Here are Keith, Danny, and Chris.
Welcome to another edition of the Community Broadband Bits podcast. I'm Chris Mitchell. Today I'm speaking with some folks down in Salisaw, Oklahoma. Welcome to the show, Keith Skelton, Assistant City Manager of the City of Salisaw.
No, thank you, Chris. I'm glad to be here.
And also supporting with some technical knowledge, we have Danny Keith, the Network Communications Supervisor for the city. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So for those who are unfamiliar with Salisaw, it sounds like a really interesting small town. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it and the background?
We're a small community, about 9,000 in population. We're located on Interstate 40, about 25 miles from the Arkansas state line. Salisaw is a public power community. We have our own electric system. We also run our own municipal landfill. And back in 2005, we ventured off into the telecom world. So we brought on the fiber, and basically you can say Salisaw is a full-service municipality right now.
Excellent. And you had mentioned that you're in a part of Oklahoma that is has some economic development challenges as well, just historically.
Yes, historically. The eastern part of Oklahoma is four or five counties in the eastern part. We're routinely in the top five of the unemployment in the state of Oklahoma. It's not very good for our community, but it's something that we fight through on a daily basis. And we strive to improve our, economic development opportunities. We go after new industry and new retail stuff almost on a daily basis. Just basically our location just makes it very hard to do.
And one of the things we've found is that towns that have location like that often have the double whammy then of the private companies don't always want to invest in new broadband technology. And from what I understand, that was your situation 15 years ago.
Yes. We started the research on this project back in 2002. Basically, the reason we started the research was we knew internet was going to take off, and we knew Salisaw, if we didn't do anything, Salisaw was basically going to be left behind. With our cable system that was in town at that time, it was it wasn't very many stations available. There was no HD channels then. It wasn't capable of supplying broadband modems. As far as internet availability, we did have the traditional dial-up internet. But it was slow and oversubscribed as well.
And you were the first in Oklahoma to be considering this type of a model where you would be building the network and then actually operating and offering the triple play services on it. And how has it gone over the years in terms of having to be the first in the state to do that?
Well, it's been something we've taken pride with, being the first in Oklahoma. As far as the operations over the years, Danny, will probably be the first to tell you, it hasn't been easy. The city has supported it through the years. The community has supported it. Our council members have supported it. And I think we're just now starting to realize the benefits that it can bring to Salisaw.
fiber side of it was pretty challenging from the upstart, just because we didn't have the personnel with the trainings behind them.
As a small town building the fiber network, what are some of the challenges of getting up to speed with the kind of personnel you need to run a triple play fiber optic network?
It's mostly the trained personnel to work it. There wasn't any. I actually took people, garbage trucks, meter readers, street department people, trained them up and brought them up in it. So that they know how to work it.
Well, it's one of those things. It's always a mixed blessing. I feel like it's really good to give people in town an opportunity to move up and sort of pay scale and have a higher paying job that often comes with these sort of network operations. You know, the flip side is some communities bring in people who already are experts, and there's a little bit of bitterness of those jobs not going to the community. So it's a double-edged sword, I think, sometimes.
You know, we tried to stay away from that as much as we could. You know, there's times when you have to, but when you can train somebody then locally, then we felt like that was the way to go.
And that's something we're very proud of too. We're outside of two people who was in our original technical crew for Diamondnet. The workers, you know, as Danny said, they came from the water department, the meter readers. You know, we selected people from those departments to train, and that's something that we were really proud of. You know, we would say that our system was actually homegrown, from the start.
Danny, can you tell us a little bit about the challenge of operating a fiber optic network in a rural region where you may not have the best links to the rest of the world?
Well, that was probably our biggest problem in getting everything started, was the backbone link in here. There wasn't one. So we finally wound up using a company over in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and they rented a dark fiber along Interstate to get them over to here. But we had to pay through the nose for that. It was really hurting our bottom line. We have finally gotten out of that, and there is a provider now locally that we can tie into, which is a great savings for us.
Sure, and actually one of the things that we've seen here in Minnesota is that it can put you in a situation, I'm curious if this is something that strikes a chord with you, where you basically have this incredible racetrack, you have this fiber system, but you can't use it to its fullest extent because you just can't afford the links out of town because there's no good options.
Yeah, that's one of the big things that we ran into. And as Danny stated, it was hurting our bottom line. We were paying, in the beginning, we were paying as much as $120 a meg for our backbone. Of course, starting up, we didn't require that much backbone. But, as the years went along and we added more subscribers, that really added up to some tremendous cost for the city.
One of the things that I was interested to see is that you have a tremendous number of subscribers. It looks like about 2 out of 3 people in town take service from you, and so that has not been a problem. You've been incredibly popular.
Like I said, the community has supported us well. The people who are tech savvy have taken a real interest in our project. And they just want to see us, keep improving it. We've done a lot of changes in the last few years to improve the system. And, there's people like that in the community that, they like to see stuff like this. They like to play online games, or they like to, get on and play YouTube videos, whatever they need to do. And they want to see us, continually get better. One of the things that we've done here recently to make our system better is our low-end internet package for residential used to be 3 meg. And with the changes we've made to internet now, we have up that to 10 meg now. So with 10 meg, everybody can pretty well do anything that they need to do.
How does that compare to surrounding communities? What do they have? What kind of options do they have?
They're probably DSL service, some of the satellite internet feeds, things of that nature. There are some local phone companies I guess you'd call second, third tier phone companies that do offer some internet service, but I'm not really sure of the speeds that they offer there.
I think it's probably safe to assume that they're quite a bit slower than what you're offering there in town, right?
Yes. And that's one of the reasons why we're considering launching a wireless network that would feed outside the city limits of Southside.
I saw that you have plans next year to launch a wireless service that seems to really be aimed at those around town more so than those in it. But can you tell me more about it?
Yeah, we've had, of course, once we launched Dominant, we had several people from outside the city limits inquire about receiving the services. And right now, running our fiber outside the city limits is kind of cost prohibitive. And so in addition to that, we've also got requests for internet services as well. So that's brought back the idea of about a year or two ago, we started looking at the prospect of launching a wireless network. And I think it's going to come to launch here probably within the next 2 months. We'll be launching our wireless product outside the city limits. Our rural customers, our potential rural customers, are really looking forward to that. We already have several people inquiring about it. We have one small community that's about 400 or 500 people that's really wanting our product. So we're going to do our best to try to serve the rural communities around Salisaw.
I saw you put all the football games on local television. What other kinds of local content? What are the things that you do differently from the other cable company that's in town? I know that you actually compete against another cable company that originally did not have any interest in providing internet access. So, what are the things you do differently?
Our competition doesn't do any local service at all, like the community channels that we have. They do have a community channel because their franchise requires it, but we take that a step further. We have our community channel as well that has the advertisements that come up, page by page. But we also have a community channel that broadcasts video events. And as you mentioned, we broadcast the local football games. They're getting ready to start up here in a couple weeks. All the home games are broadcast live. And all the away games are on a tape delay basis. We start those the following Saturday morning. In addition to that, we've done a few parades. We always show high school graduations. That's real popular, especially with the older grandparents who can't make it out to graduation. That's a real popular event. And once we play that live, we always replay it several times throughout the next couple of weeks. Outside that, we've got plans to continue to add to that product. We'd like to do some videos of the city. We'd like to start maybe doing some parades, community events. We have a community event here called Diamond Days.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Your network is entitled Diamond Net. Where does that name come from? And do you have any, you've gone through this and you started building your network in a time when this was more of a wild west, really. Like, you were trying to figure out vendors. I'm sure the amount of times that you had to work just 80, 90 hour weeks, from what I've seen in small towns back in the mid 2000s, building these systems, it's heroic efforts sometimes. What advice would you give to towns that are contemplating this today? Is it a different world?
It's a challenge. You have to, make sure all your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted before you actually get into the system. You think, well, you run fiber, you make a few connections, and you flip the switch and you turn it on, and that's not the case at all. There's a lot of research that has to go into the equipment. There's a lot of time spent installing the equipment, checking, make sure you install the right equipment, IP addressing. I mean, there's a whole grocery list of items, that you have to go through in order to launch a system like this.
And Danny, do you have any additional thoughts on that?
I was here from the start, and it was quite a job.
Every community we've worked with that we've talked to about these sorts of things, they've all really emphasized that it's hard work, and they've really had to do their homework. And I think it just bears emphasizing that the difference between, building a network to connect a number of schools and libraries and things like that is really incomparable to building a network that needs to be available, five nines reliability and that sort of thing. So congratulations for all that work.
Our project was really fast-paced, too. We started construction in August of 2004, and we had our first signals into our head-in in December of that year, and we launched our first customer in February of 2005.
So are there any final thoughts that you'd like to leave our audience with?
I'm real happy to see that more municipal governments are trying to launch systems like this. I think it's... within their know-how, you know, with electric systems and everything. It's within their reach to launch these systems and improve their communities. They can do it with better pricing. They can do it with more reliability. And I think one of the great things about our system is you can actually pick up a phone and talk to one of our employees if you have issues, whether it's during the workday or after our service as well. You're not going to a call center that's located in another state or anything like that. So one of our catch tags is your South Star Diamondette is your hometown connection to the world. And we really try to keep the hometown connection part in our system and keep it operating today.
I'm personally very proud of Salisall and our part in this because my history is from the TV cable world, and I know how the private sector works, and it's not trying to stay on top of technology. It's not trying to do what's best for the community. It's the bottom line. Small town anywhere isn't going to get this kind of technology. They aren't going to be continually upgrading. They're just going to be sucking them dry, taking the money and taking it somewhere else.
And I think one of the important lessons that I take away from Salisall is, and you had your initial business plan anticipated breaking even within a certain number of years, and it's taken longer than that. And I think one of the biggest reasons is the challenges of the backhaul and being just so having to pay so much to have access to the world. But the benefits to the community have far outweighed that, and now you're looking at a break even in the very near future, is from what I've seen, and all the revenues coming in from the wireless system should only help that.
Yes, that's sincerely what we're hoping. Of course, you're always fighting continued increase in cost. Video programming is another big issue cost-wise with the sports programming and so forth. So, but it's stuff that we've been able to fight through, and we're just like any other cable system. We see those expenses, and we do our best to control our expense, but still keep our system upgraded and provide a top-quality service.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
For more details on the network, check out their website at diamondnetok.com. We will be following the new wireless project in Salisaw, and we'll check in again as it develops. As a new service, we will be making select transcripts available of Community Broadband Bits podcasts. Jeff, one of our resources from California, will be helping us out to bring a written version of podcasts for easy reference. Thanks, Jeff. Send us your ideas for the show. Email us at podcast@muninetworks.org. Follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @CommunityNets. Thank you again to Waylon Thornton for the music. This song is called Bronco Romp, and it's licensed using Creative Commons. Thanks for listening.